Welcome to episode 355 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Josh, I understand you're sick.
Well, not according to my wife, but I would say so. And regardless of whether or not I'm actually sick, I sound like garbage, and I apologize to our listeners for having to listen to me tonight, or whenever you're listening to this. I suppose it might not be nighttime.
Well, why don't we give your voice a little bit of a rest, and I can read our feedback that we have this week. And that came from Alex. Alex wrote us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, and that's where you can send feedback to us. Alex says he's following up on My Media Center over VPN. So he says, hey guys, just wanted to follow up on the suggestions you mentioned during the last podcast. I did download and try the Windows Store version of Remote Desktop, and it works fine over VPN. So I guess that rules out the possibility that maybe the problem is due to My Media Center being a Windows Store app, the My Media Center app he's talking about. Who knows what the actual cause is, but at this point, it sure seems like it's the My Media Center app itself. I did end up just opening that port on my router, and now the app works fine. I really hate exposing any more ports than I need to, which is why I never did that in the first place. However, I think for now, I'll keep the port open since being able to schedule recording remotely is so useful, and is easier to do with my Surface than on a smartphone. Thanks again, Alex. I don't know how this ever would have worked without a port open.
Well, that's where the VPN comes in. Because if he's using a VPN, then his device thinks he's on his home network. And it would just be like he was sitting on his couch using his Wi-Fi to connect.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the difference is there, because I don't use VPN. And I have not really, you know, tried to get to any of my stuff that way. But
so I just want to quickly thank Alex for following up with us. We don't always get follow-ups, and when we do, it's greatly appreciated. So thank you to Alex for that. And that's actually it. We only had one piece of feedback this week. So we'll move on to our topics. And Richard, surprise, surprise, we've got a Windows Media Center story tonight.
Well, we kind of do. We have a project?
Well, it's a new plugin for Windows Media Center.
Is it really new?
I think it's new. Well, it's new to me. yeah, because this was posted over at the Green Button on January 18th, 2016. That's pretty new.
Okay.
So this is a new plugin called My Forecast. As you can probably guess, it's a weather plugin. It's been a while since we've had a decent and working weather plugin for Media Center, and that's a nice thing to have on your TV to be able to quickly glance at what the weather is going to be like for today and for the next few days. And this one looks pretty darn nice, I think. If you take a look at the screenshots, which of course we'll have a link to this in the show notes for everybody, it looks great. I really like the idea of this. I downloaded it today to try and use it with my Windows 7 Media Center. The developer says it works with Windows 7 and 8. The biggest downside of this, it's not the easiest thing in the world to set up. He's using Weather Underground for the back-end data provider, which I think will make a lot of people happy. But the problem is that he requires you, the end user, to get your own developer API key. And that's like, if you're planning to just grab your little portable keyboard while sitting on the couch and, you know, maybe you can make the effort to get to the webpage to download this and run the installer from your couch, well, that's fine. But then you've got a lot more to do because you have to go to Weather Underground, sign up for an account if you don't already have one, because if you're not a developer writing weather apps, you probably don't. Confirm your email address, go back, actually sign up for a free subscription, and then take all of that information, plug it in, you know, you'll do that to get a key, plug that into the settings for this, and you need to go to the website to get basically a special code for your location. Now, I imagine he's at least going to fix that fairly quickly, that hopefully you'll be able to just plunk in your zip code or something like that from right within the app to be able to get your weather data, because right now this is kind of clunky to set up. The other problem that I had was that the plugin just didn't display anything at all for me. And I don't know if that's because I'm on a weird resolution. In fact, I bet that is what it is, because it says that one of the limitations is that it only supports a 16:9 screen layout, widescreen. And you might be wondering, well, Josh, don't you have an HDTV? Well, I do, but it's a weird one. It's a 720p set where the resolution is 1024 by 768.
Ah, okay.
And you ask, how might that work? That's not wide at all.
Rectangular pixels.
Exactly, rectangular pixels. It makes my life pretty miserable quite frequently. And this is one of those cases where it makes my life even more miserable. So this isn't working for me at the moment. I imagine he's going to fix that, because it says at the moment, this is a limitation. But it looks good. It looks really pretty. I hope he can do some things to make the setup for this a little bit easier. But you know, if you're willing to deal with the upfront setup, it's definitely worth checking this plugin out. And let us know what you think of it if you do. Richard, are you gonna go through the work required to set this up on your machine?
I don't know if I will or not. I mean, it might be worth checking out, maybe first trying it out on my desktop to see how it works there. I wonder, you know, I'm just kind of fascinated that there is, in fact, a new Windows Media Center add-in available in January of 2016. So
yeah, for sure.
I think that's the thing that kind of took me by surprise when you put this in. And I just figured, oh, you found something old that you're giving a try, because, you know, the heat wave thing never really did work. They kept on exceeding their limits and pulling it down, and changes would make it not work, and then they would update it eventually. So to have a new plugin is really, really great. I think I want to give it a try, and I want to encourage it. And I'm wondering, he says that there's a place where you can provide, well, he says that feedback and ideas are appreciated. I think we should probably encourage people to go out to the green button and post some information here about it if they like it and they want to encourage the guy.
Absolutely. Always a good thing to provide feedback to developers. And who knows, maybe he'll even eventually post a donation link. And if you really like it, you can toss him a couple bucks to say thank you for it.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, that's it for video this week. We have one audio, not so much story, but point. And again, it's an unfortunate one. This week, we lost Glenn Frey, the former singer from the Eagles. And I just wanted to point out, because I went looking for some music to listen to it yesterday, what we did last week, which was mention that you can go to Groove and you can actually stream the music on Groove. And Marcus actually helped us find the specific links that would take you to Glenn Frey and Eagles music that you can stream on Groove Music. So we'll have those in the show notes. And then, of course, this is also available to listen to on Windows devices through Spotify.
Yeah, so I guess I just hope that next week we're not going to be talking about more music from artists who have recently passed away.
Yeah, this is kind of crazy. I mean, I hate to keep on throwing that in, but you know, these are big names that people kind of grew up with, and at least I certainly did. And so, yeah, I'm done with this. Let's have some good audio news next week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Eagles fan ever. I like them. I'm really not a huge David Bowie fan, but you know, late last year, we lost Scott Weiland, the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, one of my favorite bands during the 90s. So yeah, this kind of needs to stop happening. Let's just enjoy music and have our musicians keep living. I like that idea better.
That's a good plan.
Okay, stop dying. All right. On to some gaming news, although this isn't all entirely gaming, but it's all on the Xbox. We had mentioned last year that Microsoft was, well, I wouldn't say take a couple months off of development on the Xbox One, but definitely taking a couple of months off from releasing updates for the console. Well, it's almost February, which is when they told us we would see the next big update for the Xbox One console. So that means that preview member users are going to be getting updates, well, now. In fact, if you're listening live, these updates are going to start rolling out in about 10 minutes. So if you're in the preview program, all kinds of updates coming your way soon. Although it's a little bit confusing as to how it's going to be distributed. We'll get to that in a minute. First, here's what you can expect. First off, you're going to be able to see who's in a party. So if you get online, you see some friends online, and maybe the person you want to play with is in a party, well, you might not want to interrupt them, or hey, maybe you do, but you might want to know who's in that party first. Well, now you're going to be able to view who is in someone's party before you go barging your way into it, which is always a nice thing to at least know who you're going to interrupt, I guess. They're also bringing back or a modified version of the GamerScore leaderboard. This was one of the things that I really liked about the original Xbox One dashboard. It showed you right on the main screen how you've been doing recently in terms of getting achievement points. And that's all just kind of gone with the new Windows 10-based dashboard. Well, now you're going to get a whole new section available from you by going to your profile section, and then your achievements, and being able to see how you stack up over, you know, how many points you've gotten in the last 30 days compared to your friends, things like that. I always found that a lot of fun. I'm not a huge achievement guy, but just seeing that number right when I booted up my Xbox made me want to get more achievements. So not having it there has been less fun, frankly. So we're going to get some form of that coming back soon. Here's another one that I think our audience is really going to be happy about. All those pins that are at the bottom of the screen that, you know, took you a while to find the first time you booted up the new interface. Well, now you're finally going to be able to rearrange those pins. You can kind of do it now by pressing the menu button on a pin and saying move to front, but that's a pretty terrible way of rearranging them. So here you're actually going to be able to, most likely, I would guess, tap on the menu button on a pin, select a move option or something like that, and then just use the thumbstick to move it wherever you want in the list. But don't know for sure yet because it's not out. The other nice thing, if your Xbox is offline, you'll be able to use your pins still. They'll show up. It won't require an internet connection and an Xbox Live connection just to be able to see your pins. Now, I'm not sure how useful your Xbox is going to be anyway without an internet connection, but at least you'll have your pins, I guess. Another nice but small feature that we lost when they upgraded the Xbox One to Windows 10 is when you go to the My Games and Apps list, anything that you've previously had installed shows up at the far right of the screen under a section labeled ready to install. Now, this includes anything that you've ever had on your Xbox One. So maybe you played the Rainbow Six Siege beta months ago. It shows up there so that you can reinstall it. You know, reinstall a beta that you're never going to install again. Well, now you're going to be able to go to those items and say, remove this from the list, and you'll never have to see it again, thankfully.
Good.
Yeah, they had this before and they lost it with the update. Super annoying. I've got a ton of items in there now that I don't like seeing. And you don't have to worry. I mean, if you hide something from that list and then you want to go and reinstall it, you'll still be able to find these things in the store if they're still available. Things like those betas and stuff probably won't be in the store, but it won't matter because you wouldn't be able to do anything with them anyway. They're also going to be releasing some updates to the Xbox app on Windows. These updates seem less exciting, so we won't go into all the details here. We'll, of course, have a link to the post that goes into great depth about all of these updates in the show notes for you to check that out. There's also a couple of more features coming to the Xbox One, but nothing super exciting. Now, if you are a preview member and you're thinking, I'm listening to this show and you said that this stuff was rolling out right now and I don't have all these features, that's because, as if having a separate preview program wasn't confusing enough, they're not rolling all of these things out right away. But they're not giving us details as to when each of these things is coming out either. So it doesn't sound like every single one of these features is going to be released this week, but it does sound like they're all going to be soon. My guess is they'll all come out over the next couple of weeks, and then probably mid-February, we'll see all of this stuff released for everybody, people who aren't in the preview program. So that's my guess. Nice big new update coming for all of you Xbox One users. If you're listening to this right as this show is coming out, you've still got a little bit of time to take advantage of another special promotion going on this week. If you're an Xbox Live Gold member, you get a free week of EA Access just this week, January 19th through the 24th. And if you're not familiar with the EA Access program, think of it as it's kind of Netflix for games. You pay a subscription and you get complete access to what EA calls their vault. The vault currently has about 15 games in it. They're slightly older games, but you get access to all of them. You can download them right to your machine, play them as much as you want, just like if you owned them. And these aren't cheesy games. These are games like Dragon Age Inquisition, the recent Battlefield games, all of their recent sports games like UFC and FIFA and NHL and Madden. You've even got some of their more casual games like Peggle 2 is in there, and Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare is in there. So it's most, if not all, of the big EA games that are available. Now, it's not the absolute most recent ones. So, like, if you're a hockey fan, NHL 15 is in there, but NHL 16 isn't yet, because they still want you to buy their games. So my guess is NHL 16 is going to be in the vault soon, but it's not yet. That game released in September. Last year, I remember them adding NHL 15 to the vault right around this time. So, you know, you usually have to wait 6-ish months before their games end up in the vault. But once they do, they're yours for free to play. So that's what you'll get access to right now. Now, if you pay for EA Access, you get a couple of extra benefits that you won't get during this trial period. That includes a 10% discount on the purchase of any games. So, you know, if a new Madden game comes out and you have to have it right now, you'll get a 10% discount. Or, you know, you could just wait for it to show up in the vault. The other thing that's cool about EA Access is you get access to games earlier, usually like 5 days early, and they allow you to do a 10-hour trial of all of their games prior to them coming out. So if you're not sure if you want the latest Battlefield game before it comes out, do a trial. It worked for Battlefront too. So lots of great benefits to EA Access. And it comes in at a pretty nice price. You can pay for it monthly at $4.99 a month, or you can get a whole year of it for only $29.99. So if you're a big player of EA games, EA Access is a pretty nice subscription to have, and you can try it for free for this week.
So this is basically the service that you were talking about last week when we were mentioning Amazon's Prime Games program.
Well, Amazon's Prime Games program is basically just a discount program. You
right.
get 20% off games prior to them coming out or within the first 2 weeks of them coming out. And that's
right.
it.
Right. Okay. But this gives you discounts pretty much on everything when it's available.
Everything that EA makes whenever it's available, and free access forever to any game that's in the vault.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, one game that I wanted to bring up here, probably the most anticipated game of the first quarter, is a game called Tom Clancy's The Division. Comes out in March, but at the end of this month, there's going to be a free beta for it. This game looks amazing. I am so excited about it. And if you have an Xbox One, you'll get access to that beta one day earlier than everybody else. It's going to be available January 28th through the 31st. And there are two ways to get in. You can go to the website and register and hope that they include you, or you can pre-order the game and you'll get guaranteed access to the beta. Now, I know not everybody wants to pre-order, so, you know, choose whichever option you like best. I went the pre-order route. I know a few people have gone the pre-order route, and depending on where you order from, you could potentially cancel your pre-order. Well, probably most places you could cancel. So you've got some options there if you want to check this out. It looks great. Again, January 28th on Xbox One, and then the 29th on the other consoles. Sticking with The Division, Microsoft is pretty excited about this game too, so much so that they've announced yet another Xbox One bundle. So this is a pretty nice bundle. It's the 1 terabyte version of the Xbox One plus this game for $400. So it's basically, I guess it's basically the 1 terabyte Xbox with the game for free, because I think that version of the console is $400 already, right?
I believe so.
So there you go. It's already available for pre-order, and it comes out March 8th, the day that the game comes out. There's one more game I wanted to mention. Honestly, you know, I look at the game releases pretty much every day, and this one I missed. Like, I didn't notice it when I first looked through the list today, but I noticed it as we were planning for the show. It's called Gemini, subtitled Heroes Reborn. You know, the TV show, Heroes Reborn.
Oh, you mean the one that's been canceled for the next season?
That's one way to word it. So yeah, the Heroes show that we were really excited about, and then we started watching it.
Who?
Yeah. Well, I was really excited about it.
Okay, all right.
Some people were excited about it until they started watching it. There's a game for it. It releases this week, which is the week of the season finale. Well, series finale, I guess, since, like you said, it's not getting renewed for another season. I don't think this game is going to do very well.
Yeah, that has to be a blow when before your game actually publishes, you get word that, oh, and by the way, the show's not continuing.
Yeah, they needed to release this game when the show came on the air, not as it was going off the air. But that's it for our gaming news this week.
All right. Well, we have one mobile story, and that's just that there's a new Lumia expected to be announced next month. Now, I don't remember, Josh, have we talked about the Lumia 650? Because I get these numbers confused all the time and I can't keep track of it, but that supposedly is what we're expecting to hear about on February 1st.
I don't have a clue if we've talked about this one. I have almost as much trouble keeping them straight as you. The only ones that I can keep straight are the high-end ones, because they're the only ones that really matter to me.
Right, and this is not going to be a high-end one. Nope. This is going to be a 5-inch 720p display, 1 gig of RAM, 8 gig of storage. It has micro SD expansion, 5 megapixel front-facing, 8 megapixel rear with LED flash. We've heard this story again and again and again, and I really don't understand why they're telling it again, except that there isn't really a low-end device or a mid-level device that's out now that's as current, right? Like, this is going to be newer and then presumably up to date enough that maybe it can do some of the cool new Windows stuff, like Continuum or whatever that thing is called.
I don't think this is going to do Continuum.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, they've always made it sound like Continuum was for high-end phones. And this thing has got a Snapdragon 210 or a 212 in it. And that's a pretty friggin' low-end processor. So I don't see this thing doing Continuum.
Well, I guess we'll find out shortly, but we don't know what it's going to cost. It's all rumor. Isn't that exciting? We know nothing yet, but in 2 weeks' time, we will know more if, in fact, this actually gets announced. Now, the thing that caught my attention, because, you know, sensationalist headlines, was that many, many places that are covering this are calling this the last Lumia, expecting not that this is the last Windows mobile device or Windows phone. That's what the clickbait is for. But what that really means is that most people are expecting that they're going to change the branding on phones and that phones may become part of the Surface brand sometime in 2016.
Yeah, I haven't been following that particular aspect of all of this as closely as some people. I'm not sure that I buy it. It seems to me that it would make sense to continue to do Lumia phones as maybe the low and mid-end phones, and then Surface for the flagship phones. That seems like it would make sense, right? Or I don't know. You tend to have strong opinions about these types of things. What do you think about that strategy?
I just don't understand why they would be changing it at all. I mean, I understand they're trying to find their market because they haven't yet, but Microsoft has a tendency to rebrand things a little bit too frequently and thereby confuse consumers. And, you know, I'll give you the music product as an example. How many brands has that been associated with? Microsoft, MSN, what was it before? Xbox for a while.
Don't forget Zoom. Yep.
And now Groove. I mean, it's as if they're really just trying to find its position. And when they took everything that was related to entertainment and threw it under Xbox branding, presumably somebody thought that was a good idea. It wasn't. I'm just not convinced it makes sense to put everything that's a touch device under the label Surface.
I like what the user in our chat room tonight by the name Enlightened One had to say. He agreed with me about the idea of going with Lumias for mid and low range phones and Surface for high end. He said, I agree. That would make sense, but this is Microsoft. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. All right. Well, one final Microsoft story. And this I had to put in here just because this falls into that typical glass half full, glass half empty kind of story. So word has come out, I guess from a test facility or maybe from the team itself working on HoloLens, that the HoloLens devices are expected to get anywhere between 2.5 to 5.5 hours of battery life, up to 5.5 hours of battery life when they come out. And some posts are looking at this saying, wow, this big, huge, crazy, powerful virtual reality computer that's going to sit on your head and project all this stuff into your eyeballs is going to work for 5.5 hours on one charge. And other headlines are saying, it's only going to get 5.5 hours of battery life? That's abysmal. Well, the headlines themselves aren't really saying exactly that. Although some headlines these days do get written that way. And I just think it's funny. I think that, you know, I look at this and I think first generation technology, you're not going to be walking around with this thing on your head for more than 5.5 hours. So why is anyone complaining?
Richard, you're obviously just being a Microsoft fanboy here.
Oh, I totally am. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
If it doesn't get at least as much battery life as a MacBook Air, it's an instant fail.
Yep, absolutely. HoloLens battery fail, hashtag somewhere.
Right. No, this seems like a reasonable starting place to me. I mean, yes, this is a big thing, and you think big batteries when you think of big things, but it's also... you have to consider the fact that it's a big thing you're wearing on your head and batteries are heavy. So you don't want to put too many in there or else you're going to have a really sore neck.
That's a really good point.
I mean, batteries are typically the heaviest thing in a laptop, right? So let's not put 20 pounds of batteries in the HoloLens and then slap it on our heads. Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I also don't know how I feel about the idea of basically a ring of batteries, which, I mean, don't they emit some sort of magnetic field around my head?
Well, and how many consumer electronic device batteries have we heard of over the last 10 years that have burst into flames?
Oh, it does not even go there. Microsoft is smart enough to make sure they know where they're sourcing their batteries.
Yeah, I'm not actually concerned about that, but... when you consider batteries encircling your head, I suppose that's something that you at least have to consider.
Yeah, that just brings up, I don't know, images of bad 70s sci-fi picks. All right, well, this is going to be a short episode in deference to Josh's voice, so we're going to cut right into what's going on in our entertainment centers. And I've actually been getting back to my Media Center home theater PC, trying to get my media library back in place. I'm tired of having titles that we already own repurchased because they can't be found in the appropriate online library. And I'm trying to get my purchased movies back into one consolidated place. So I've been getting back to my movies and getting those things all put on my server. And I installed Plex and PlayOn and not so much installed them as I guess used the installations that I have, and very quickly realized, you know, I need a more powerful server for Plex and PlayOn. My Plex is running on my Drobo, so it can't transcode to anything other than the actual file. And PlayOn is also running on my Windows Home Server 2011, which is perfectly good as a file store, not so good as something that has to do also transcoding. So I'm actually contemplating buying the first new PC that I've bought in probably, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 years.
Wow. Gonna build a super server?
I'm not building anything. I'm just gonna buy it and install stuff on it. I'll buy it, reinstall an operating system from a brand new machine, you know, take off what was on it, and then, you know, go from there. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but I think that needs to happen fairly soon because I'm getting frustrated with my server's slow capabilities.
So do you have your eye on any particular machine yet, or are you not to that point?
I'm not to that point yet. All right. Now, while I've been doing this, I wanted to go test one of the movies I put out on my server. So I went to Media Center and I opened up my movies and I go to play, and Total Media Theater has stopped working on my Media Center PC.
Like it just crashed, or like it's just never coming back?
It doesn't launch. I can't get it to run. I don't know what's going on. I have not had time to troubleshoot it, but this is not good because you can't get it anymore.
Right. Yeah. For anyone who's not abundantly familiar with this situation, Total Media Theater was one of the only two real options for watching Blu-rays on a Windows Media Center PC, or really any Windows PC at all, the other one being CyberLynx Power DVD. And Total Media Theater is just gone now. Like, it's gone.
Right.
Like, you go to their website and you don't even know that it ever existed. It's so gone.
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do about that yet. One of the things that I'm trying is my movie's capability to transcode to an MKV or an MP4 file. I don't really know how that's going to go. And primarily what I'm concerned about is that shuttle control. I know when we've talked about file formats before, one of the things that gets lost when you convert to those formats is the ability to fast forward and rewind in different speed increments. The only thing you can really do is do that skip forward by 30 seconds. So you lose that. So not sure if that's going to work or not, but I'm going to try it and see how it behaves. So that's what's been going on. And I'll follow up on that in coming weeks. Now, meanwhile, I've been watching a bunch of TV. I watched the movie Taken, and a little bit of a confession here. The reason that I watched the movie Taken was because it was one of the Netflix discs that I had at home and hadn't watched yet and had to return so that I could get the next Boston Legal disc from Netflix. So,
oh boy, you with your physical media.
I know, isn't it adorable? So I watched Taken and I really enjoyed it. Have you seen this movie?
No, you would think that it's a movie that I would have seen because it is right up my alley, but I've never seen any of them. Aren't there three of them?
There are. And I remember hearing about this, and you know, the quote that he has when he's threatening the kidnappers early in film, is kind of a meme now. You know, like different actors do their voice to it. I think at one point Seth MacFarlane did it to the voice of Kermit the Frog, and it's just hysterical. And so, you know, I knew about the film, and I knew that he was pretty badass in it. It's awesome. I really enjoyed it. So I would recommend that to people who are into, you know, just entertaining action films. Then, well, I watched some Boston Legal when I got the new DVD a couple nights later. I'm also going back to try Supergirl again. Remember, I watched the first episode, kind of didn't have enough interest to watch more. So I decided to go back and try to watch that. It's okay. It's getting some pretty good press. And so I wanted to find out how it holds up to some of the other superhero shows I watch, or I guess comic series shows that I watch. And I don't know that it holds up as well, but you know, it's all right. And they do an interesting kind of weave in with the Superman folklore that we already know, and supposedly have these occasional overlaps with Superman in a way that they can do it without actually having to hire Henry Cavill or anyone else to play Superman for the purpose of the TV show. I think that's the actor's name, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't watch the show.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, besides, who's Superman this decade? So
who cares? Superman's dumb.
No, it's not. There's a new movie coming out that's supposed to be really, really bad.
Right.
Now, meanwhile, people from work have been hounding me to watch Making a Murderer, a documentary series put out by Netflix on Netflix. And so over the course of the last week, between the time that we recorded this and now, I watched all 10 episodes.
So it was pretty good then.
I got totally sucked into it. It's like, in many ways, the first episode or the first series of Serial, where you're sitting there thinking, how is this happening? How is the judicial system actually failing these people as badly as it is? Whether they're innocent or guilty, how is the system failing as bad as it is? And so if that's the kind of thing that gets you going, I highly recommend this. I did enjoy it, and I think it's worth a watch. It's 10 hours, and it's 10 pretty seemingly slow, but pretty intense hours.
Yeah, I keep hearing about it, but haven't put it in my queue just yet.
And it's a documentary. It is, you know, it's based on, it is not based on, it is a true story. It is a telling of a true story. So it is, like you have suggested with Undisclosed, perhaps a bit biased in some ways, but it is definitely, I think, worth watching. And then finally, Downton Abbey has started. It's the final season. It's just one of those feel-good PBS shows that's fun to watch and pretend that you have that much money, and they're all complaining about how it's not cool to have that much money anymore.
Wait, this is a feel-good show?
It kind of is. I think it is.
Well, you know? I've never watched it, but Jen really likes it, and she always seems upset by it. I mean, I know nothing about the show, but I think I've heard her complain about favorite characters dying and romances that should have been and
be,
and
tragic stuff happens. But there are many feel good moments in it.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I'm not watching it.
All right. Well, how have you been spending your time? It looks from the notes here like you haven't watched anything. You've been playing.
Well, one of these things is at least me watching something. And that would be watching the Dakar Rally. That's now over. That doesn't mean I'm up to speed on it. And so I have to avert my eyes when I see what looks like a tweet about the rally, because I still don't know who won it yet. And it's actually been a pretty interesting race this year. So still working my way through that. Maybe I'll finish that by next week, I hope, because I do really love watching this race. Other than that, nothing, including Star Wars. You know, it's funny that when I was watching episodes 4, 5, and 6 with Eden, she couldn't get enough and kept asking me to watch it. And then we got to the prequels and she hasn't brought it up again.
Yeah.
And yeah. I wasn't going to bring it up this weekend. I just, the idea of finishing off episode one didn't sound entertaining to me at all this weekend. So I didn't bring it up. She didn't bring it up. And there was no Star Wars to be watched in our house. So yeah, that's about it for what I've been watching. I think in terms of other things that I'll be watching, Jen and I have mentioned that, you know, we are going to finish Heroes. So that's the next thing we're going to do, because we're done with Quantico, the other show that we actually like, but we feel obligated to finish Heroes Reborn. So that's probably going to be next, but neither of us are really looking forward to finishing it. And then on the gaming front, trying to finish Fallout 4. Finish is an interesting word with a game like this, where you could spend hundreds of hours or at least dozens of hours. But I'm not loving Fallout 4 the way that I loved Fallout 3. And I've got Metal Gear Solid 5 waiting and other things coming along. So I kind of just want to finish the main story and be done with Fallout 4. So been playing through that a little bit more. I don't know when I'm going to finish, but I hope soon, because like I mentioned earlier, in a couple weeks, I plan on spending as much time as humanly possible playing the Division beta for that weekend before that comes out in early March. And frankly, I would like to get through Metal Gear before the Division comes out, because I think it's a game that I'm going to want to spend all of my time playing. But I don't see myself getting through Fallout and Metal Gear in time. So that could be a problem. Plus, I'm still obviously playing a lot of Call of Duty. So that's what I'm doing. Other than that, not really a whole lot going on. But I'm really curious to see where you go with your media server library situation. There's a lot of interesting things for you to do there, and I'm really excited to follow along with that process over the coming weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, so while that's it for you, and that's it for me, that's not it for everybody, because Marcus is back with a Music Minute, so let's get to that.
Hey everyone, this is Marcus with your Music Minute, and I kind of wanted to talk about video games and music. And I'm not talking about video games with the composed music. I'm talking about video games with licensed music, music that's popular, music you've probably heard from the Grammys, and music you've probably heard from the radio. I want to talk about the great ways that I've seen them intersect, the great ways that I've seen video games use music as for discovery or for greater enjoyment of the actual gameplay itself. For example, there are games like Rock Band, Guitar Hero, Fantasia Music Evolved, Just Dance, and Dance Central that do a great job of not only getting the people to move and groove, but they've become vehicles for music discovery. Now imagine a game, for example, telling you you need to perform songs by Pearl Jam, a group you've probably never heard of. But then you play those songs by Pearl Jam and you realize, wow, not only did I manage to get my achievement, but these songs by Pearl Jam are actually very cool. That is a great thing for video games to do to help you discover music. But then there's games like Sleeping Dogs and Forza Horizon 2 and Grand Theft Auto, where they utilize a feature where you can be driving a car and then listening to the radio. That is actually pretty sweet. These radio stations actually have a collection of songs to them. And much like real radio stations, sometimes they can get repetitive. But it's still cool that you could be cruising the streets of your neighborhood or flying by the coastline at 125 miles an hour and hear an awesome song on the radio. Sports games like NBA 2K16 have made a music a cornerstone of their offering, going so far as to have actual celebrity executive producers like Jay-Z generate the soundtrack. These are songs that you'll discover that are designed to get you amped, pumped up, and ready to take the hardwood. Actually, personally, I think sports games are a great way to find out what's cool in the world of hip-hop. So this brings me to something related about music and gaming. Recently, I've seen a groundswell of Xbox One users ask for a feature in which Groove Music or some other music service could be played in the background. Not played in a snap mode where it takes some of the television real estate, but true background play. Now, I initially questioned when this feature would be most utilized, and some have said during games like sports or puzzle or casual game. I also wondered if having the ability to play music truly in the background would take away some of the effort that goes into putting actual music in those games. Because if those games are being de-emphasized for music that you personally want to play, what does that say about the music that's actually used in the game? So with that, I want to know how you would use background music, and what do you think about that feature? Is it something that you would use? Is it something that you think is not necessary? I would love to know. So you can tell me on Twitter at Trombone for Hire, or you can drop me a note at musicminute@outlook.com. Let me know also if you discovered any great songs in the course of playing video games. I'm always down for music discovery, and I would love to hear what you've discovered in the course of, you know, fragging a friend or driving down the coastline. So everyone, that's this week's Music Minute. I'm Marcus Lyons, and I'll holler at you next time.
Now that's a really, really interesting Music Minute from Marcus there. Really two big areas there to discuss. Frankly, I think this could have been a huge topic on a show and not just a Music Minute. First off, you know, he mentions the different ways that we learn about and experience music in games, and he's absolutely right. You know, I don't play a lot of the music games very often, but I've found some of my favorite bands by playing games. You know, I found Fall Out Boy by playing, I think it was NHL 2004. They had a song called The Quiet Things That No One Ever Says or something like that. I don't remember. Had a really long title. And like, I would like boot up that game just to hear that song because I love that song so much. And now I'm a pretty big Fall Out Boy fan. So yeah, I think that's really awesome. Now, then he switches to, you know, what do we want to use background music playback for? It's so frequently requested on the Xbox One. And there was some news this week. We didn't put it in the show notes because it's pretty small, but it sounds like we won't be getting that functionality until at least this summer. But the question is, what would you use it for? Well, for me, you know, we had this on the Xbox 360. I had an Xbox 360 for years, and I only used this a handful of times because most of the time, the sound of a game, whether it's music or just anything else, even if it's a sports game, is just, it's always been really important for me to hear that. Like, I've tried to play the NHL games with the sound turned off, and for some reason, I just can't. I can't play games without the sound. So I'm not someone who's really looking forward to having background music playback, but obviously there's lots of you who are. So I'm curious, just like Marcus, about what it is that you guys want to use it for so badly. But what about you, Richard?
For me, you know, I don't spend a whole lot of times in games, but for the couple of games that I've played, one of the things that has particularly struck me is the scoring or the ambient background audio. So while he's talking about specific songs in some games or specific artists, also sometimes it's just an ambient background score. And I love soundtrack music. That's something that we've talked about a lot when we talk about music. So there are actually a couple of soundtracks that I've purchased that are just game soundtracks. I know I have a Halo soundtrack. I believe I have a Myst soundtrack and a number of other games where it's just really cool, futuristic background music and really good for working.
You know, I've got another one you should check out. And it's from one of my favorite games from last year, Ori and the Blind Forest.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because it's amazing. The music is so beautiful. You should definitely, and it's on Spotify. So there's no reason not to go and listen to it. Really good.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, we've got one more announcement to share with everybody tonight before we get out of here.
Yeah, just a quick one. I know I've talked about this in the past. I have two friends who are military. Well, one who's military stationed on the other side of the globe right now, and his friend who is stateside, who is now retired military. They have a show called Ritual Misery Podcast, and it's basically talking about life for military families, tech geeky stuff, and a number of other things. They've been getting some really good guests on recently, and they're now also part of Diamond Club TV. So they invited me on. I was on this past Friday, and I've mentioned before, this show is not safe for work. This show has an explicit tag, and I was in rare form. So If you want to see me rant a little bit more freely, then this may be of interest to you. We'll have a link in the show notes.
So what were you ranting about?
Well, this was actually really clever. So Kent, who follows my numerous Twitter accounts, had basically like a bingo sheet of what annoys me tweets. And he was trying to see how many of them he could trigger a rant from me about by just bringing up the topic. And I didn't realize what was going on until about halfway through.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Very cool. All right, I'll definitely have to go and check that episode out. So that's it for this episode. If you want to catch up with us and talk to us, there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can find us on Twitter. Richard's at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. Website's at DigiMediaZone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. We're on Google Plus. We've got the email address, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. You should, of course, check out, well, Richard's other podcast, Home On. What have you got going on with Home On this week?
So I was a little late in getting my interviews out from CES, but they are live now for real, as in even for the live listening audience. So if you want to hear what we heard from folks like Insteon and folks like Whirlpool and folks like the makers of the really cool little Flick button, there are some great interviews on there. I really enjoyed doing them. And then after that, I don't know yet. I have a stack of cards about an inch and a half thick from CES, and I need to figure out what's next, but it'll be coming up, and I'm looking forward to a great new year in 2016.
So some people may be sick of CES news at this point, but I covered CES with you, and when I listened to this episode of Home On, I learned a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't know. So,
well, that's cool.
Absolutely a show. You know, if you're into home automation at all, you definitely need to listen to the most recent episode of Home On for sure. You can find Home On and Entertainment 2.0 and any podcast that's ever on the DMZ on iTunes, Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and hopefully maybe eventually Google Play if that ever actually gets off the ground. And then, of course, the most fun way to listen, in my personal opinion, would be to listen to us while we're actually recording the show. You can do that. We record the show live on the air right at the DMZ, typically Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. There's a chat room so that you can talk with us while we're doing this. We love it. We have fun. You have fun. Everybody has fun. You should come. So follow us on Twitter to find out for sure when we're going to be recording, because sometimes the night changes or sometimes the time changes, but typically Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That's going to do it for episode 355. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther, and we'll be back next time for episode 356. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.